Okay, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Muhammad Shahid, and he'll talk about foliar application of biostimulant as a BMP tool to improve tomato production in Florida.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Muhammad Shahid, and I'm working in Horticulture Science Department with Dr. Godeng David Liu. So our lab is mostly we are working on the nutrient and water management in horticulture crops, and particular tomato and potato production. So tomato is a very important crop all over the world, and USA has a very significant position, and its share is 9% in the world. So in this way, it's on number third position. The China is with 28%, and India is number second at 11th position. So in USA, it is cultivated in 20 states. So, and its the market value is worth about $2 billion annually in the tomato production. And but the California and the Florida are the leading states on the basis of the production area and the production. And in the Florida tomato production, there are the different challenges, including the abiotic stresses, abiotic agents, biotic agents, and the most important one is the sandy nature of the soils. The area especially where the tomato is grown in the Florida, it's a sandy in nature, so that's why we need to add more nutrients, more water, because when are we adding the water, it's leached down, and it's also nutrients are also leached down. So it increases the cost of production. So that's why we are working to find out the ways so that we can enhance the water holding capacity and the nutrient holding capacity of the plants so that we can get the optimum yield. So we are, Dr. Liu and his team, we are working on different methods, use of the surfactants and different irrigation approaches. And one of them is the use of the biostimulants. So I will briefly introduce about the biostimulants. Actually, it's an industry project. We are also working with the industry, and we are testing the products for them, and then we just send them the data, or this product is better. So this is an industry project. The biostimulants, these are the compounds that are that can enhance the both production and the produce quality, even though when they are used in small amounts. And these are not the fertilizer. These are the different from the fertilizers. And these are the very eco-friendly. They are not toxic either to the humans and to the produce quality. And it's a very growing, newly growing industry, and the big industry are the Europe and the USA. And it's estimated that by the end of this year, the biostimulant industry will worth $2.24 million. And they perform the variety of functions within the plants. They induce the resistance to the diseases, resistance against different abiotic stresses like the salinity, drought, heat stress. They are also involved in the fruit ripening. They are also induce the increase the shelf life of the fruit. So in this way, they have the variety of the functions. And there are the different groups of the biostimulants. They are the humic acid containing compounds, nitrogen containing compounds, some seaweed extracts, like the famous one is the calyp extract, and these are the inorganic cells, and they may be the some microbes like the growth promoting fungi and bacteria. So objectives, there are the two main objectives of this experiment. The first one, we want to check the efficacious effect of the biostimulants on the nutrient use efficiency. And the second one, if the biostimulants can enhance the growth and the quality of the fruit in the tomato. So this trial was conducted at University of Florida Horticulture Science Department in the main campus of the department. You can see the black turret. It's the main campus, and although we have the 18 different research stations statewide, but this study was conducted in the main campus, almost near the, it's in the center of the state. So we used the 5 biostimulants, and the 6th one was the water. These are the different names provided by the company, CP1, CP2, CP2 plus BS, BS and competitor, and the water is the control. No, it doesn't contain anything. And this study was carried out. It was a pot study, and we did this study in the greenhouse, and we used the pots of 20 by 20 centimeter in dia and depth, and the company here provided us the some pre-mixed fertilizer with the ratio of 12, 5, 15, and PK. And in each pot, based on the area, we added 2.7 gram fertilizer pre-plant. And there was four applications of each treatment in this experiment. And we collected the data about the growth, some physiological attributes, some quality attributes, and the yield data. So this is the data about the plant height, stem diameter, and dry biomass. And we observed the significant differences in response to the treatments in the plant height, stem diameter, and dry biomass. So, and in case of plant height, you can see the maximum plant height was observed in the plants that were treated with the competitor. And it was very closely followed by the BS, CP2 and BS. It is the one product, but it's the name, it's a mixture of two products, CP2 plus BS. And in case of stem diameter, again, the maximum stem diameter was obtained in the plants that was applied with the competitor. And in, we also collected the shoot and root dry biomass, and we also measured the maximum rates of the shoot and root dry biomass in case of the competitor and CP2 plus BS. So in case of plant height, shoot dry weight, and root dry weight, there was no significant differences between the CP2 BS in green color and competitor in green color and the CP2 BS in blue color. So there was no significant differences between these two treatments, and they performed very well. They maintained the higher stem diameter, plant biomass, and plant height. These are just to show you the difference. We harvested the roots from the plants, and you can see the differences in the roots. So these are the roots from the competitor and the CPBS, and as compared to the control. So it means these biostimulants promoted the root growth. And so that's why you can say that they strengthen the uptake capacity of the plants with the nutrients. So there's a clear difference. So in future, we are planning to enhance this study, and maybe we will use wind rhizo. So we will study some root architecture. So in response to these biostimulants. So this is the difference between the treatments in roots. Photosynthesis, it's a very important physiological mechanism, and we can very easily correlate it with the growth. So we determine the photosynthetic activity at three different stages, flowering, early fruiting, and the late fruiting. And all of these three stages, we also observed that, again, the competitor found to be the best one, and it because the plants that applied with the competitor, they maintained the highest photosynthetic activities. And it was very closely followed by the CP2BS. And in case of at flowering stage, there was no significant differences between the control, the red one, and the BS. It's the white one. But at early fruiting stage, there was no significant differences between the BS, CP1, and the control. And while at the late fruiting stage, there was no significant differences between the control, CP2, and the BS. So we can say overall the competitor was the best one because the plants that applied with the competitor, they maintained the highest photosynthetic activities at all the three growth stages. And in the photosynthetic activities, we used 30 leaves per replication, and we used a Lycor 64 to determine the photosynthetic activities. Leaf greenness, it is another indicator. Indirectly, you can say that it's the chlorophyll contents, green pigments in the leaves, and we determined this attribute by using the SPAD meter. Actually, these are the SPAD readings, and we same like the photosynthesis. We calculated the leaf greenness at three stages, flowering, early fruiting, and the late fruiting. And again, the competitor found to be the best one by maintaining the high leaf greenness. And so that's why we can correlate the leaf greenness with the photosynthetic activity, because the plants treated with the competitor also have the maximum leaf greenness. So we can say that they have the maximum chlorophyll contents, and that's why indirectly they have the more photosynthetic activities. So these. And the next is the relative water contents. So we also observe significant differences between the relative water contents in the leaves in response to the biostimulant applications, but the competitor treated plants had the maximum relative water contents in their leaves as with respect to the control. So we also determine some nutrients, calcium, potassium, magnesium, and phosphorus in the root and the leaf tissues. So, and we observe the significant differences in response to the biostimulant application. So in case of the calcium in the leaves, the first graph, so you can see that the maximum levels of the calciums are found in the competitor and CP2 plus BS treated plants with respect to the control. And there was no significant differences between the BS, CP2 and the water treated plants. And so likewise, the same trend was observed in case of roots. In case of potassium, again, competitor treated plants had the greater values of the potassium, but in case of the trend was different in case of the roots. So instead of the competitor, CP2 plus BS plants have maximum levels of the potassium in their roots. So we don't know what's the specific reason behind this, but in future studies, we'll study about this. And magnesium and phosphorus, in case of the biostimulants also had a significant effect on the magnesium and phosphorus contents. And in case of both leaves and roots, the higher quantities of the magnesium was observed in the competitor treated plants, and it was very closely followed by the CP2 plus BS treated plants. And in case of the roots, there was no significant differences between both competitor and the CP2 BS. And in case of phosphorus, there was no significant effect of the phosphorus contents in the roots, but it has a significant effect in case of leaves, and the maximum phosphorus contents was determined in the competitor treated plants. So overall, in the calcium, phosphorus, potassium, and magnesium, it was observed that there was no significant differences between the BS and the control. And competitor and CP2 BS are the best one in case of force sensor, leaf greenness, and maintaining the higher nutrient contents. Nitrate and nitrate reductase activity, these are the very important enzymes, and you can say these are the symbolic indicators of nitrogen assimilation within the leaf tissues. So biostimulants application also significantly accelerated the activities of these two enzymes. And again, the competitor found to be the best one. The plants treated with the competitor had the maximum nitrate reductase and nitrite reductase activities. Nitrate and in leaf petiole sap, we are working on this parameter. We are trying to make, because it's a very good parameter, it's, you know, by measuring the nitrate and in the leaf petiole sap test, we can guess the level of this, we can correlate it with the level of the nitrogen in the plant tissues and in the soil. So we determined the nitrate and the leaf petiole sap test at the three stages, flowering, early fruiting, and late fruiting. And at all the three stages, the maximum leaf petiole sap test was maintained by the plants treated with the competitor, and the very closely followed by the CP2 plus BS. Fruit quality parameters, we have the two main objectives. One is to enhance the production, and second one to improve the quality. So we use some selected characteristics regarding the tomato, salicylic acid, malic acid, tartaric acid, soluble solid contents, and the fruit firmness. And all of these fruit quality parameters, the good fruit quality parameters was increased in case of the competitor. So, and it was very closely followed by the CP2 plus BS. Yield. So finally, when we calculate the yield from our plants, and we categorize our fruits in four grades, and the plants, the maximum yield was calculated from the plants treated with the competitor, and the second one was the CP2 plus BS. And again, the large and extra large grades were maximum in the competitor treated plants with respect to the control. Conclusions. So finally, we concluded that the biostimulants are very effective, and these are very good in enhancing the production and the quality in the tomatoes. And we also did this study in the field, and we also got very good similar results in the field. And the second thing, that petiole leaf test, petiole sap test is a good indicator to judge the nitrogen status within the plants and within the soil. And third thing, that we found that the biostimulants are very good to enhance the nutrient use efficiency within the plants. So this study was sponsored, and the product was provided by the ICL Specialty Fertilizers, Ohio, and we are very thankful to them, and we acknowledge them. That's it. Thank you very much. Any question?
We've got time for one quick question.
Is it Is it possible to know the major components in that biostimulator?
Yes, it's a very good question. The question is that what's the major constituents? So we recently get the answer of this question because we get ready the manuscript of this study, but the company did not provide us any composition. So just 2 days ago, they sent me the composition of the competitor because actually they told me that we have submitted these components for the patent and it's just their business secret. So recently they launched the competitor with AgroLeaf name in the market, and its composition is NPK, some trace elements like selenium, like silicon, and some growth regulators. It's auxin and some chelators. So it's the main constituents in the competitor. But they did not send us the composition of the other one.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you.